Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live.
So we got a date, Prime Minister?
We got a date, the 14th of July, which we've worked out at Government House as being the appropriate date.
That doesn't give you much time to run up to an election, Prime Minister.
Doesn't give my opponents much time to run up to an election, does it?
Yes, it was 25 years ago tomorrow, June the 14th, 1984, that a visibly, and as you can hear, very audibly inebriated Sir Rob Muldoon called the snap election. A month later, his nine-year stint as Prime Minister was over, and the era of David Longy and Rogernomics had begun. Sir Don McKinnon was senior whip under Muldoon at the time, later, of course, Deputy Prime Minister and Commonwealth Secretary-General, and he joins me now.
Tell you what, Damien, I think you didn't get it quite right in that intro.
Okay.
he wasn't drunk then. He was a couple of hours later.
Right. So when he actually announced the election, he wasn't drunk?
Correct.
Oh, okay. Because a lot of people sort of assumed that his the sound of his words, his slurring of his words, was a sign that he had been drinking.
Look, I was with him the whole evening. He had a couple of drinks, but it was after that he really got stuck into it. I think that were the... I'd prefer that I didn't have to acknowledge that he was drunk at that time.
No, that's quite all right. Okay, we'll rewrite the history books right now, Don. We'll set the record straight. I mean, but in terms of announcing the election, though, that came as a surprise to most people, didn't it?
In some ways, yes. But you see, there was a feeling of exasperation anyway about what was emerging. And clearly, when you got a majority of one, you are on a knife edge the whole time. Mm.
So, I mean, did you know that he was going to call the election when he did?
Well, I'd been talking with him really all afternoon, ever since I had to go to him and say to him that, you know, we're going to lose a vote. We're losing a major vote on this private members bill. And he then, you know, took it on board and thought a lot about it. But clearly it was coming to him that, you know, you can't run a government if you're constantly of the view that the government could fall over.
So explain the background behind this. I mean, you said it was over a private members bill.
Yes, well, this was a private members bill that Richard Preville had put into the House on the nuclear issue. And at the point of which that Marilyn Waring indicated that she'd be supporting that bill, that effectively was the government majority. And therefore, to allow that bill to pass, you know, Muldoon considered that, you know, ultimately sending a signal of a breach of New Zealand's defence obligations.
Marilyn Waring wasn't withdrawing her confidence and supply vote, was she? So it wasn't actually the end of the government, per se, if this went ahead.
No, but the view of Muldoon was that if any one member could walk away from the government caucus on any bill at any time, you really couldn't say that you had full control of the government. And that was his bigger thought, that it might be this one today, it might be something else tomorrow, it might be Marilyn Waring today, it might be someone else tomorrow.
So it was Muldoon's intention then to basically re-energise his mandate, I suppose, and come back from the election, hopefully with an increased majority, is that right?
Well, I'm not too sure he believed there was going to be an increased majority, but he knew very well that, you know, governing with one majority wasn't easy, and probably the sooner we had an election, therefore the better. And I think he would have... I'm not sure he was the saddest person in the world when the election was lost, because, you know, he had been governing with some difficulty for some time.
But perhaps not surprisingly, the plan didn't work, did it? And Labour came through with a fairly strong majority. So you're saying that Muldoon probably wasn't that surprised either?
Oh, I don't think so. You know, we'd had a pretty rough ride for a couple of 3 years, and, you know, we were coming to the end of what you can say was, you know, quite a long run in office since 75. And, you know, in New Zealand politics, look, if you're any good, you can usually make it to 6 years. If you're better than that, you can usually make it to 9 years. But anything beyond 9 years, you know, I think Holyoke's the only one who did it back in the 60s for some time. So you really are stretching out, and the polls were not very much in our favour.
I was quite young at the time, but I can recall by the time National lost that election, Muldoon himself was quite widely, I suppose, reviled might not be too strong a word. Do you think history has softened his image?
I'm not too sure. You've got to talk to the historians about that, but I don't have any doubts that he was a very good Prime Minister for about 4 or 5 years when he came in from 1975. After that, it became more problematical. Things were deteriorating, and they probably were not made better by some of the actions that he took.
New Zealand was a very different place back then. Can you perhaps recall exactly what it was like with the various freezes, the strikes, the rules and regulations?
It was a problem. It's not an easy one to describe because it really was, I can say, a pretty fast-moving evolution right from the 50s. You know, we went into a period of the 50s where the country was incredibly wealthy, very much as a result of the high prices paid for agriculture products post-World War II and through the Korean War. And then there was a decision to really, you know, we had to move away from agriculture and get into manufacturing, so there was high levels of protection put in, something, frankly, that just about every country does when they start moving into manufacturing. And then you move into the 70s and people are saying, well, isn't it time we should be more market-orientated? So we were going through some pretty major upheavals right through from the mid-50s into the 70s and 80s. And you probably think, well, we still are. These things, you know, nothing remains very stationary for very long. But what we do know now is that if you ignore the markets as such, and I mean the global markets, well, you know, you are riding for a fall.
Do you think the changes that happened under the 94 Labor government, led, you know, in no small part by Roger Douglas, would have happened if Muldoon, if the National government had won again in 1994?
Maybe not as, you know, the funny thing was that through the early 80s, there was a whole bunch of us the lesser members of the caucus. We weren't the front benchers, but, you know, we were calling. We were trying to move towards deregulating, but it wasn't only our own party was stopping us, because the Labor Party was too. You know, just to deregulate the ownership of movie theatres was resisted by the Labor Party, let alone the whole transport area and things like that. So, you know, it was one heck of a shock to the whole country that a left-wing Labor Party would come up, come into power in 84, and move to the right of the National Party almost overnight.
Now, in the years that have followed, the very name Muldoon has almost become an adjective, hasn't it? I mean, it's something that was brought up time and time again when Helen Clark was seen to be becoming more authoritarian, dictatorial, perhaps.
Yeah.
But you worked with Muldoon quite closely. Did you get to see a softer side to the man?
Oh, look, you see every side, and I will continue to say that every political leader is a very, very complex person. You don't see just, there's not just one image, there's not just one side, there's not just one persona. They are a mixture. Yes, he did have a very soft side, particularly for the dispossessed, particularly for people who really didn't have anything. People like solo mothers, he was much more, you know, conciliatory towards those sort of people than probably many of his cabinet colleagues. On the other hand, he could be very tough and very hard when he really wanted something.
Did you ever get on the wrong side of him, Don?
Oh, well, the only time I probably did was when I nearly lost a vote when I was chief whip, and I went up to straight to his office and offered him a resignation. He said, oh, no, you don't need to do that. He said, let's run through the procedures you have for, you know, granting leave and all that sort of thing. And that was the only time. When he did get angry, I found that the best thing was to get angry quite back at him quite quickly. And then he had settled down. He was quite mischievous in the way of pushing people who were willing to be pushed. And if you weren't willing to be pushed, he stopped pushing.
Well, Don, 25 years on Sunday, has time flown? You've been very busy since then.
Time's flown. Time flies when you're having fun.
Thank you very much for your time today.
Okay.
Cheers. Bye-bye. So Don McKinnon there, reminiscing about Rob Muldoon calling that snap election back in 1984. Rob Muldoon, a distant relative of yours, I believe, Simon.
Yeah, quite terrifyingly. And my grandmother was his personal secretary for many years and typed up a number of his books on company time.
Coming up after the break, I head along for a sneak peek of this year's homegrown films at the upcoming film festival.